What does this have to do with this?
Right now, millions of people are getting robbed. Not by the guys you might think, but by hospital and insurance company executives. They crooks. Because they manage to hide hospital prices from all of us. When we can't see or compare prices, hospitals charge us whatever they want.
Hospital price transparency is catching on, and rapper Fat Joe is pushing politicians to get hospitals in compliance, revealing their costs to patients up front before procedures. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Hospitals already have a federal price transparency requirement. Now some states, including Ohio, are pushing their own legislation. Today, we're going to ask how many hospitals are complying with price transparency, whether a state law in Ohio would do more to improve transparency, and whether these requirements bring down costs for patients. Joining me now are KFF Health News Senior Contributing Editor, Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal, Ohio Hospital Association Director of Media and Public Relations, John Palmer, and former Colorado State Representative Patrick Neville, who has supported healthcare price transparency in his state. Dr. Rosenthal, if you go to your doctor or hospital and ask for the price up front of a procedure like an X-ray, will you get it? And why can't we see the prices for different healthcare services ahead of time?
Sorry, I'm laughing, but No, it's very hard. If it's something very discreet, like an X-ray, you might be able to go to a freestanding radiology center and get a price. Maybe. But if you went to a hospital, you know, you say, well, what's the price of the X-ray? And they give you that, and it may sound reasonable. And then you get a bill that's three times that, and they say, oh, well, that didn't include the facility fee, meaning the room the X-ray was done in. Oh, and that didn't include the doctor reading it. So that's another charge. And, you know, we at KFF Health News with NPR run a project called Bill of the Month, which I recommend to everyone because so many of those are from people who say, I asked the price and I got it and it sounded okay. And then I got a bill for five times that because there are all these like, oh, wait, you wanted someone to read the X-ray? Oh, that's not included. So it's very frustrating for patients who try. And like I said, if it's a very discreet thing, like if I go to Quest and say, how much is a complete blood count? They can tell me they know my insurance. They can tell me what the over-the-counter price is. And they can tell me what likely my insurance, whether my insurance will cover it. So for really discrete things, price transparency is useful. But if, you know, for example, you need an appendectomy, oh my God, good luck. You will not get transparency.
Well, and prices can vary within the same hospital based on what your insurance is. Certainly prices can vary for the same service at different hospitals. Elizabeth, how can a C-section, for example, be a different cost in the same hospital for different patients based on their insurance?
Well, it depends on the negotiated rate your insurance has made with that particular hospital, and often for this particular year. And have you met your deductible yet? Have you met your out-of-pocket maximum? I mean, can you imagine the example I use, you know, my husband's a Tesla fanatic. Can you imagine if the price of a Tesla was like, you know, 20 times in New Jersey what it is in New Mexico? Like, that would be nuts, but that's what we see in healthcare. And, you know, transparency is a great first step when it's done in a good, willing way. And when the price you get is, as I say, binding, like a good faith estimate. But, you know, people are hoodwinked all the time, we see, because they think they got a price and it wasn't the real price. Or often what they get is, well, we can't tell because, you know, it depends on your insurance and how we negotiate it. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what my insurance is, you know what your contracted rate is. So you should, you know, this is not like the Newton's law of physics. Hospitals should be able to tell people but their billing systems are designed to be obscure and to not give people prices. So how can they really, the concept of shopping around is fine for like a blood test, maybe for a chest X-ray, but for most complicated procedures, forget it. You need to go to the ER. Oh, well, what's the ER facility fee? Well, I don't know. Did you activate a trauma activation fee? I don't know. Like it's all unknowable. So I think it's kind of a joke when we say consumers should be better shoppers. That's putting a whole lot of the burden on consumers in a system where there are no price tags. If there were no price tags on milk at the different markets where I shop, I don't know what I would do, and that's just milk. That's just a couple of dollars.
John, I want to bring you into this conversation. You're with the Ohio Hospital Association. From the hospital's perspective, why are these prices different from hospital to hospital, for within different hospitals, for when you're dealing with different insurance policies? Help us understand the hospital's point of view here.
Well, thanks. I know, healthcare is definitely one of those areas and services that has grown a lot in recent years when it comes to providing price information, because we know those financial decisions are important for Ohio families and patients. And, we've got a lot of tools out there. I mean, the tidal wave that we've seen just in the last few years around price information has been pretty substantial. Consumers, patients can get information in a variety of ways. I mean, we have machine-readable files, we have cost estimator tools. Insurers have machine-readable files and cost estimators. There's private resources out there. And then we have these good faith estimates on top of a variety of other things. And so this is getting to where, we see a lot of cost in healthcare. A lot of our costs are focused around labor. That's the majority. And then you have your supplies and drugs. And then you have other areas that, you need an infrastructure with security, information technology, equipment, and a whole slew of other things. So there's a lot of cost in healthcare and a lot that hospitals have to meet, not only regulatory standards and criteria and obligations, but also accrediting standards and obligations when we're providing this care. Because, at the end of the day, we got tens of thousands of services that we can provide. And a lot of them elective, some of them obviously with emergency care and other areas. And so, we're in this very interesting environment with a lot of components moving around. And when it comes to these prices, we negotiate with insurance plans, Medicaid and Medicare, and try to put all this information out there to consumers so as they're looking for opportunities and looking for services that they have informed decisions to make those calls.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking about hospital price transparency and its impact on prices for patients. Have you been surprised by the cost of a hospital procedure? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Patrick, Elizabeth says this, it's kind of a joke to expect patients to be able to shop around for prices and costs for procedures, especially something that's complicated, maybe not as straightforward as a blood test or an X-ray. You have been advocating for price transparency. I know you pushed a law in Colorado when you were a state lawmaker there to have better price transparency. But how realistic is it to expect patients to shop around for better prices?
Elizabeth's not wrong in general that it's hard to do this in most states because the fact of the matter is this has been a federal rule since January of 2021. In most hospitals, specifically in Ohio, I think right now, Patient Rights Advocate did a report that said that only 9% of the hospitals are compliant. Now they focus on the 20 largest systems, but when only 9% of hospitals are compliant, that makes it really difficult. So in general, there's other states like in Colorado, we passed some different laws that add some consumer protections on this, and what that's done is it made more hospitals compliant. And so now that most hospitals are compliant, we're actually seeing the private tech world come in and develop these tools that you as a consumer can type in your insurance and go and shop, and you can see that your insurance price is this. This is what the employer pays, as well as like your out-of-pocket costs. So you see what your employer cost is. And then you can also see what the cash price is. And oftentimes the cash price is lower. And what this has done in Colorado is given the employers the ability to actually, maybe we should rethink our insurance plans and let's go with self-insurance and we can work with direct primary care where there's no out-of-pocket cost for our employees. So they actually get that care up front that matters most, you know, and they get that care right up front so that saves costs later down the road. But then there's other things they can do. So instead of maybe like going with the network price, Colorado just announced that Smith Medical is coming in here. It's a private ambulatory surgical center. It's oftentimes 30 to 50% lower than the lowest negotiated insurance price, the network price. And so they'll give their employees incentives to go to here for if you need a knee replacement or whatever the surgery may be, a knee replacement, maybe it's a rotator cuff surgery. If it saves the employer $20,000, what they're doing is they're giving their employee incentives to do that. We'll give you paid time off of work to go do this. We'll pay your travel costs. And on top of that, we'll give you like an additional $10,000 to your HSA. And both parties win. And so it's like, it's really working in Colorado, but it's because a lot of the consumer protection provisions that we have in our laws.
John Patrick just mentioned the advocacy group, Patient Rights Advocates, and said had found that just 9% of Ohio's hospitals are in full compliance with this federal mandate. What are your thoughts on that? My understanding is you have a difference of opinion on that figure.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the federal law that went into effect a few years ago, I mean, to date, no Ohio hospitals have received fines from CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, for noncompliance. And you know, CMS was designated in this federal role as the entity to kind of oversee this program. But to date, no Ohio hospitals have received fines. You know, it's been a work in progress. When that rule was implemented in 2021, it was at a height of a pandemic. And since that time, in 2022, a year after, there was a huge increase from what CMS reported in compliance, and reporting over 70% of hospitals nationally are compliant. And that's just on, you know, one aspect. When you even look at the consumer-friendly shoppable services, we've seen an increase. And yeah, I think that's important because this is a work in progress in regards to when rules are announced and deadlines and things are implemented. You know, finding the templates, putting together, and like I mentioned, that's what we just saw recently. There's more happening around price transparency at the federal level in the coming weeks. And so that's been important for us to make sure that we are working with hospitals and these industries to make sure that we are getting information out there to patients.
John, you just mentioned over 70% nationally. What is the figure that your organization cites in terms of Ohio hospitals being in compliance?
In regards to OHA, we aren't a regulatory entity and authority, so we aren't overseeing that implementation process. We get information from CMS that has been the federal designated organization that oversees that. But you know, those compliance rates continue to increase, and even the ones that CMS did fine, it was I think a small handful. And I think they issued a lot of warning notices and corrective action plans that the majority of those hospitals ended up following through to completing. So it's definitely been a process that we want to make sure continues from a compliance standpoint.
Cynthia Fisher with Patient Rights Advocates spoke with WOSU in Columbus. Here's what she had to say about compliance.
We agree with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, the federal government, that over 70%, in fact, we're seeing that increasing, have actual pricing files online. However, they're incomplete or they're missing wide swaths of data or certain insurance plans that have no pricing in the fields. So, in order for price transparency in a full market to work, those pricing files have to have all of the prices that the hospitals have negotiated with the insurers and that discounted cash price. I mean, certainly you can't have a functional market unless all prices are out there. So when we look at this report, we do a deep comprehensive dive and validate not only technologically, but we look at every data field to make sure prices are available. And then we compare it to the insurance industry pricing file. And when we find them in the insurance prices and not in the hospital, we know that the hospitals can do better.
Dr. Rosenthal, what do you think about all this?
Well, I kind of have steam coming out of my ears at the moment. I think one of the things, yes, the Trump administration did require in 2 years, two successive years, first prices to be listed, and then prices insurers paid the next year had to be listed. But the key words one of our discussants said is in a machine-readable format. That makes it, you know, these are hundreds of pages long. You need to know what medical codes mean. It is not in a human readable format that a human can read. So great, there are these companies coming in that, you know, can machine read these things and try and estimate what your cost might be. But, you know, this goes down to, you need to know which screw is used in your knee replacement to know the right cost. And those screws may cost, you know, $4,000. So I think, like, this is all better, but, and I think price transparency is really important, but it's the most obscure kind of price transparency I've seen in any commercial market. And once again, the good faith estimates, yeah, great, hospitals are giving them, but we are getting literally like dozens of emails a month and submissions a month saying, I got an estimate from the hospital and it said $4,000. And then I got a bill for $16,000. And the answer the operator gives is, oh, well, that's just an estimate, right? If I renovated a bathroom and the contractor said it's going to be $5,000 and then sent me a bill for $20,000, I would go ballistic. But somehow we accept that in healthcare. So I do think we have to have more meaningful transparency if we're going to try and make patients shop for it. A few years ago, there was this idea of bundled pricing where hospitals were going to accept, and it was a CMS idea, a price for a knee replacement or gallbladder surgery, a bundled price. So it was a set price. But that kind of went by the wayside because guess what? You can make a lot more money disaggregating those bills and you know, charging more. So I do think we need meaningful prices. We need bundled prices. Insurers are struggling to do the best they can for their employees. But P.S., remember, if you pay a cash price, that's great, but that doesn't go towards your deductible or out-of-pocket maximum. It's just, so you're not using your insurance at all. And you need that for a catastrophic illness. So I think, yeah, you know, it's great to have some transparency. One thing I will say, and I know our friend from the Hospital Association won't like this, but my doctor's computer, because he's affiliated with the hospital, sends my blood to the hospital, where almost every test will cost about 10 times as much as it would if I walked down the street to LabCorp or Quest. So I get a requisition and go there, because hospitals will add on facility fees and, you know, blood tests are like booze at restaurants. You can charge whatever you like. There's no standard. So I'm all in for transparency, but not machine-readable transparency. Like, how about human-readable transparency? That's what I'd like to see.
John, do you want to speak to that? Because, you know, when we started our conversation, you talked about the complexities that hospitals have to deal with, the many, many, many services they have to be able to provide. I'm sure there's, you know, hospitals have to write off patients who can't pay sometimes. So I'm sure there are overhead considerations that hospitals have to keep in mind. You know, how do hospitals navigate this system where they're supposed to be transparent and help patients understand what things are going to cost?
Yeah, I mean, that's really where we're trying to be helpful in providing meaningful price information. And with all these regulations and requirements now with machine-readable formats and different files and then every negotiated rate. And then, as I mentioned, there's more federal transparency coming later this year. And so there is a lot. And I think it's important that, you know, for patients, if you're beginning this journey of seeking health care, having that conversation with your doctor or physician to get, you know, exact specific information around the technical name of your procedure, what exactly you need to be seeking, looking for insurance codes, asking about tests that you might need, trying to gather as much information. So when you go and look on the websites, or if you go and talk to the hospital and talk to a patient advocate, that you can get your questions answered and to get the information you need so you can make a decision with your family or individually. But it is a very, like I said, there's hundreds of thousands of codes out there, a lot of payers. There's over 900 health insurance companies and negotiating rates with different plans, different elements and components of all that. And trying to put these in machine-readable formats and on resources that are estimators and toolkits to try to get it specifically the right price and the right amount that would be beneficial to the consumer. It's definitely been a process, but it's something that we've been committed to.
Patrick, we've talked about how when you were a state lawmaker in Colorado, you pushed for passage of a state law to have more transparent pricing than what the federal mandate required. I know there's a similar law being, or a bill being discussed in the Ohio State House right now, and you testified about it. Tell us about your testimony. What did you tell lawmakers about, you know, how things are working in Colorado and what you think this bill in Ohio could do?
Yeah, so my testimony in Colorado, or testimony in Ohio about the Colorado bill, explained basically this is not an overnight fix. Transparency is not going to solve all the problems in healthcare, but nothing can be solved without transparency. And so we're seeing the fruits of that bill now 2 years later. My bill went into effect August of 2022. And what Elizabeth said is spot on. Like, you need actual real price transparency. And so when I look at what happened in Ohio, the House bill actually did require machine-readable and human-readable files. It also required those prices to be listed in dollars and cents amounts. The Senate version falls short on a lot of that stuff. It allows the use of algorithms for different prices, so consumers have to go try to decipher an algorithm. It doesn't require them to be listed in human-readable formats, only the shoppable services, not all of the services. And so the House version was wonderful. It passed 90-5, which... it amazes me that the Senate version actually had less support in a chamber a third of the size. It had more no votes than the House version. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens going forward. But the House version was, I think, extremely popular, very bipartisan, passed overwhelmingly. And that's what would be the best for Ohio.
We did get a call from Gary, who couldn't stay on the line. Gary said, sometimes you get a bill and you can't understand the bill once you get it. You can't understand what you're paying for because it's in these codes. How do you interpret that code? We're running short on time, but Dr. Rosenthal, any tips for Gary?
You can put it in Google and the code will often tell you what it is. But typical hospital bills in the U.S. may have hundreds of codes, right? And you have to... it's really like a full-time job for patients, and it shouldn't have to be. Hospital bills in other countries, I had one for a hip replacement in Belgium at one of the finest hospitals there. It's 4 pages long and in Flemish, and I can understand it far better than a similar bill in the U.S.
I've been talking with KFF Health News Senior Contributing Editor, Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal, who is also author of the book, An American Sickness, How Healthcare Became Big Business and How You Can Take It Back. Ohio Hospital Association Director of Media and Public Relations, John Palmer, and former Colorado State Representative, Patrick Neville. Thank you all so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.